Well, let's start right back up where we left off Sunday in the book of Joel. And if you can't find it or it's unfamiliar to you, it's kind of towards the end of the old. If you'll go to the Matthew and then start turning towards your left, turning pages towards the right. Hallelujah. Would you stretch your faith this way? Father, we're asking that every service is prophetic. That every service leads us to a higher place. Lord, we cannot, and we declare we will not, by the grace of God, stay where we have been. We ask you, Father, by that name which is above all names, to take us higher. Take us into that place that you have always ordained us to be. Place that you have ordained your body across this nation and around the world who are hearing. Oh God, what an excitement in my spirit. They're hearing the call of the bridegroom. I receive grace. These receive grace. And we thank you for the person and the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. We were talking again Sunday about if you're hearing that call, what it sounds like. It's not up to me to be the Holy Spirit in your life, but I can tell you just indicatively, just by being one that is hearing and us being brothers and sisters in the Lord, what this end time call sounds like. It doesn't necessarily have to have words, but it feels like this. It doesn't matter about things anymore. This life's too short. And it's not that you've lost your drive of life. In fact, you've found the drive of life. It's Christ. And it's all about Him. And it's all about the posterity of what we're going to leave, if we should leave, to our children. It's all about going forward. It's all about Christ. It's like the natural man doesn't understand it. Even your mind for a while will ask you questions like, is this the way I'm supposed to think? Because money just really doesn't matter to me anymore. Having extra doesn't matter. Having enough and more than enough according to His grace, yes, hallelujah. But the old timers used to sing, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Hallelujah. So there's something, this beacon that's going off in heaven. The bridegroom's coming back. And anybody that can hear His voice is hearing this message. Lay aside all this stuff. It really doesn't matter. And so our value system is changing dramatically every day. And this path is getting narrower and narrower. But the dichotomy is this strange effect. As it gets closer and closer, as we get into this path, more freedom. More freedom. Strong. We've said it again. I love to say it. The more you die, the more you live. And this mortification, listen, in case there's any kind of flip-flop in your head, when we're talking about mortification, especially to those who are maturing or have matured, let me go to ground zero to start with and say this. If mortification to you is you've just gotten saved and you've been involved in the world and you've trusted the blood of Jesus and you're just trying to stay saved. I mean, if it's just, you've got some real strong vices in your life. Well, there's no condemnation. That's not what we're teaching around here. We're not teaching that we've so advanced that we can't talk about things like that. There's the blood. And the blood's always there. But the mortification message that we're teaching to you that are saints that are going into revival that have heard this, and that's pretty much all of you that are seated here, is that the mortification now is not on the vices so much. It's not on staying saved. It's way past that. It's really compounded in, if you just want to know it without flowering all kinds of words, it's the mortification that brings us into the fullness of His agape, which is His love. And whatever level that I'm walking in or you're walking in, it's not that the mortification, the dying process is getting there's only one way to say it, the uglies, like, you know, the real kind of things that most of the time we associate with dying, sin, blackness, darkness. But it is taking us layer after layer and stripping away self-ambition, self-assertiveness, the things that would put us first and just love the dickens out of, if you can say it that way, Jesus Christ, and love with everything in us each other. And those are the qualifications for revival. There's a great army here in Joel, this powerful prophetic book, and we're going to do, you know, I don't know where we're headed exactly. I do know pretty much. And just stay with us. I'm going to read. I wasn't going to read here, but I just felt like I should. Verse 1, this word came into Joel. And verse 2, it says, "Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your day, or even in the days of your fathers?" Is there something happening? Very powerful. "Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation." Hallelujah. One of the things, and I know this is going to talk there in chapter 1 about a destructive force that was sent for judgment, but I just want to spin off of that just for a moment and talk about how powerful it is for us to be raising up our kids under this environment. And we've said it, and we're saying it, and we're continuing to say it. There's a powerful move. There's a powerful move by His grace in this church. There's a powerful move in the land. In the land. Maria, would you mind coming up here for a second? Can I put you on the spot? I mean, as you're walking up here, I'm going to, you know, you can be thinking, she didn't even know, have any idea. Can you tell us... what you guys have been privy to the last few years when you go away for the children's ministry and how that's set up and how they get them, you know, praying and all that good stuff. You know, tell where it's at and who does it and everything.
It's called the Children's Equipping Center, and it's out of International House of Prayer out of Kansas City. Lenny LaGuardia and his wife Tracy are the ones that are in charge of it. I think they've got about 30 years of ministry, and most of it, if not all of it, has been through children's ministry. We've been to two One Thing conferences, and they have 3 days of conferences for the children, and I think there's 4 days and 3 sessions for each day. And I think each session is maybe 3 hours or 4 hours long. And they do just what we do. We worship. Lenny and Tracy's vision is that we can sit our children and worship, and that they can encounter the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That they can bring in the presence and ask the Lord for, just like we do. If there's healing, children praying for other children. And The first time I attended one of the conferences or one of the sessions, the presence, they had live worship. Actually, the leader that was leading was Grace Kim, and she was about maybe 6 or 7 months pregnant, and she's raising her children. Both her and her husband are in the ministry at IHOP. The presence was so strong, I stayed. I couldn't leave. And there was very few adults, except they wouldn't allow very many adults. Very strict the way they register your kids in, and you have to stay. They stay, and they do an awesome job as far as security, making sure your children have the wristbands. But I stayed. I was like, I cannot leave this presence. It was very, very strong. JC felt so comfortable. James felt comfortable. That was the first time. The second time, they didn't do all the sessions because of my own. It was long I'm not used to doing conferences. I don't think I could do the seven-day conferences. It was long, so I didn't do all the sessions. The second time we went, I said, okay, if you want to do the sessions, you can do all the sessions. JC did every single session. So she clocked in about 24 hours of sitting in worship and prayer. And they have children that are coming and ministering to each other, giving testimonies. These children live there, are immersed in the prayer room. International House of Kansas City has a global prayer room. They've been going on 24/7 for 10 years, nonstop prayer and live worship. You can turn on the web stream at whatever time during the day, and you can engage with live worship. Their music is pretty much scripture, just out of the Bible. Lenny and his wife, they've purposed that they want to get 1 million children equipped and sitting before the Lord and praying.
Hallelujah.
Yes, and he's incredible. When he says, I am here to equip your family, to equip your children, he is sincere. He is sincere. Last summer we went, and the first night, it was Friday night, I think, he was awakened, had a terrible night, just a spirit coming to disrupt the whole thing. Matt and I were awakened that night, and we didn't understand. We just know, when we're awakened at night like that with unrest, we're to pray because something's going on. We don't need to know what it is. We just know that we go into prayer. So we did that. The next day he said, I was in prayer for every child that I had met that day. And he will come and introduce himself, meet every child. He said, I was praying for your children that whole afternoon after we met. He said, and that night, he said, I could not sleep. I was physically, I don't know if he said he was physically even, couldn't breathe.
It was an attack.
Yes, a real attack. It was an incredible weekend. James and JC have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think it was January of 2005. You called for the children to come up. And I know that JC got baptized in the Holy Spirit after one of our Ocala conferences. Actually, when we were up there, we had asked for the Lord to give confirmation on her, that we need to know whether she had Jesus, and she did. And she got baptized after that conference. But then in January, you asked for a line. And I know that all the children got baptized in the Spirit. James wasn't praying. His language wasn't coming. Last summer, as we're sitting there, the last final session, Lenny postures him. He says, you guys sit Indian style and just receive. Just like you see your mom putting out your hand, just receive. Holy Spirit wants to give you things, wants to speak to you. And so James was postured in that receiving posture, and all of a sudden we see his mouth just start going. Matt elbows me. He said, and I said, yeah. I said, I know that he's been praying. I know that he's baptized in the Spirit. And it was the first time just something, it just came forth. It just came forth. His format, Lenny's format, very simple. And what he tries to do is just engage the kids and just encouraging them. The Lord knows you. He knows you. He's made you for a purpose. He wants to use you. Doesn't matter how young, He wants to use you. Mondays, and all he asks is for 5 minutes, just a 5 minute a day commitment to them, to prayer. Monday, pray for a heart of worship, a heart of thanksgiving. Just find a place somewhere by yourself and just pray and just wait. Just wait on the Lord. Tuesday, a heart of worship. put on your CD, your favorite song, just one song, 3-4 minutes, and just ask the Lord for a heart of worship. Wednesday is a heart for the Word of God. He said, just posture yourself and just ask Him. I want a heart for Your Word, Lord. Thursday is a heart for the lost. He says, list 2 or 3 people that you know do not know Jesus, and just keep asking the Lord. Make yourself known to them, Jesus. Make yourself known to them. Friday, 2 or 3 people that you know need healing, and bring them before the Lord. And we've been really blessed.
Hallelujah.
We see the fruit.
Yes.
We see the fruit. And we have one opportunity. And the Lord gave me a vision several years back, and Matt grows citrus. He's a grower. The Lord gave me a vision of 2 pots and one, and they both had 2 little seedlings, 2 little plants growing. When you grow an orange tree or a fruit or any type of plant, do you start watering it after it's grown? Do you start fertilizing it after it's grown? Or do you start when it's really young?
Mm-hmm.
He said, you have a teenager that's already grown this tree. And they're just growing whichever way because it's getting pressure. You know, it's getting windblown. It's getting beat up by a lot of things. It's pressure from the world. We want to start at 16, feeding them the Word of God. We want to water them with those things of righteousness. Or do you want to start when it's little? And I have opposition. I have people say that no. I said, okay, I have one chance to grow this little seedling. We have one chance. Yes. Are we going to start now and take the chance that, okay, maybe they may not be getting all of it 100%, but they're going to get some.
Yes.
They may get a lot more than what we think, but we're going to start.
Hallelujah.
We have one chance. And a prophecy that was given to us about 2-3 years ago, they said, your ceiling will be their ground floor.
Mm.
Your ceiling. So as far as I can go into the Lord, that's going to be their ground floor.
Hallelujah.
So why would I not want to go this far?
Yes.
Get them as far as we can. We turned to the Lord 16 years ago. We knew the Lord as young kids, but we went our own way. And if we can give them all that we can right now to just establish them in their foundation. And Children's Equipping has been
wonderful.
A source.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. It's awesome. When I was listening to it a few weeks ago, I was like, oh my God, it's so powerful. Because I want Homer to come and just share what was going on Sunday night. Was there some more filled with the Spirit?
Yes, sir.
Okay, for just a few minutes I want you to share, because it's so amazing to me what Maria is saying and what we get the opportunity to do with our little ones at this point in time, and for the children to be taught, and Candy and I are grandparents now, and we actually have 9 grandchildren. And so we're seeing, and I'm telling Candy, I'm saying, you know, the ones that can understand have been born again. I said, Candy, we got to get them filled, and we got to get them, you know, and like Maria was saying, I thought it was so good, because it's not inundating, you know. It's like, you know, if you can do this for a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, sit here and pray in tongues. And because we're raising up a group. And we're turning this over for the future. And this will always be a part of us. The other amazing part of it to me is this, the power in the harvest. Because Homer is doing the same thing with his kids, and has been training them to pray in the Spirit as things, you know, as they're growing up. But at the same time, he's also reaching a group of kids that didn't have that, and they're not part of that, and yet we're seeing the power of God. Here's the wisdom of God at both ends, and the wisdom of God is, if you've got it, if you've got them, train them, because they're going to be my generals in the future. And so train these generals up to lead a tremendous generation into worship, the power of prayer. And then we've got this harvest going on when they're coming right out of the villages and out of the... Come up, Homer, just share for a minute, because we want to hear a report. Don't we want to hear the report? If God's doing something around here, we want to hear that.
We had eight filled with the Holy Ghost, and I've told Pastor this before, and I really believe that our youth group is a training ground. I really believe that when I see these two young men here, you know, one of them is at a very prestigious college in Maine or where, in New Hampshire. Well, same thing. And when I see him, you know, I know he goes back and forth, did I make the right decision? But he did it just to come in and help us usher in a revival. To see Renee could have gone off many a times where he thought about leaving, and he's here to help us usher in a revival. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that this place is a training ground. I'm learning the hard way. You know, I've had a desire in me lately, and I'm going to get to the baptism in a little bit. I've learned that you want to minister Jesus, and you do, but you want to do it with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus went to Samaria for one woman. And I think sometimes we can be a little dogmatic, and I think even Satan can use a lot of pride. Sometimes when you minister Jesus, sometimes they'll just say, I accept it just to get you off their back. But I think when you listen to the Holy Spirit, when you listen to those precise words to tell somebody about themselves, I think there's a lot different than just go, hey, let me tell you about Jesus, about my God. Let me tell you about how bad your religion is. No, I think there's a sensitivity that comes by listening to the Holy Spirit to raise young men. But I know there's more that are coming up. There's more that are coming up, and I think it's vital. You know, Barbara's talked to me a couple of times about getting these kids filled and teaching line upon line about what praying in the Holy Ghost does, how it guarantees a superstructure. It guarantees it. It's really, it's the only prayer in the New Covenant that guarantees edification, exhortation, and comfort, no matter how you want to look at it. There's not one other prayer that guarantees an edifice like praying in the Holy Ghost. And kids got filled, eight of them.
Hallelujah.
And I don't know, maybe six or seven got them completely, Barbara, except for one. Evelyn, maybe she didn't, but I think she was thinking too hard. But I believe, Pastor, with all my heart, this is a training ground. You know, we love to worship here. We love to worship Jesus, and we teach him about worship. We teach him about the baptism. We teach him how to meditate the Word. And I'm tickled pink at the fruit. I mean, I don't foresee, and not that we're after. I can say that with all my heart. I don't foresee a huge youth group coming yet. But when the miracles come, when we walk in enough love for the Father to use us for the miracles, then it's going to take care of itself. But right now, I really believe how I'm being trained and dying to the things of this world. I believe what the Holy Ghost shows me in my prayer closet through the edification process, I'm also able to teach them. I don't disciple them one-on-one. The Holy Ghost does that. The Word of God does that. And I'm very excited. You know, Renee's going to minister God's Word Sunday. And it's been a while. They've been here. They've been praying. They fast. They read their Bible. And they love the Lord. And this is a training ground. And I believe there's going to be 10 or 15 more Renee's and Mavis's and Alex's to go forward and die. You know, we know very little about the mortification process. We know very little about it as a corporate body of Christ. But I can tell you this, that if they continue to turn themselves over to the Holy Ghost, they'll be all that God wants them to be through the transformation process. And it was awesome, Pastor. We could teach them line upon line. And I went to the football field, and some of them guys were there. And one of the kids, I didn't even know, because he had a black shirt on. He said, man, I got my tongue, sir. I said,
hallelujah.
Oh, you what?
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah, you got filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes. So, but and I believe there's several more. There's several more that are going to deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow Jesus. Because when the power comes, when the virtue comes, it's going to come, and there's no denying that. But until then, I think there's a sensitivity that God would have us use to minister Jesus. I've been going out ministering the Word, but not in the... I think you can minister the Word, Pastor, in the flesh somewhat. I think you can say too much sometimes without the sensitivity and the guidance and the ear to the Holy Spirit. He'll give you a word about a person. And I believe in discipling. I believe in evangelizing. I believe in hitting the streets. But I do believe there's a voice to be heard on who to talk to, what to say, what not to say. Because people will tell you to shut up just to get you to shut up because you're stubborn about this. But there's an anointing that goes with this. And we can be sensitive. We can be sensitive to hear the voice of the Lord. When we minister, when we teach, when we preach, when we're discipled, we can win this world for Jesus Christ.
Yes.
One tongue and one worship and one Bible verse at a time.
Yes.
So we had a good time Sunday. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It was just perfect. And it just goes along with everything the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me today. The Comforter, Jesus taught us, which the Word says is the Holy Ghost, John 14 through 17, when He comes, He's going to guide you into all truth. And what Jesus did in that upper room, you know, the last thing that anybody tells you, if a man is laying there dying, now Jesus wasn't in that condition, but the last will and testament, the most important thing that anybody can think of is what they say just before they die. I mean, their whole life is, you know, brought to a fullness, and whatever they're thinking is the most important thing. Well, the most important thing that Jesus thought that we needed to know just before He died is you got to get the Holy Spirit. I'm leaving, but I'm going to turn my entire ministry over to the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. He's going to be that one that's going to bring forth edification, mortification, all those things. But the next thing that's going to happen to you, you're going to have to receive the Holy Spirit. And so this is where we're coming to. This is where we're at. The Lord wants my teaching you, equipping you to continue so that you can do the work of the ministry. And so that we know, I'll tell you, what Homer was saying was it was so true. And I just want to reiterate is that we've been given a Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to read here out of chapter 2, the blow the trumpet in Zion, and maybe we'll get to that in just a moment. But in just a few moments, what I'm going to have the guys do, and those of you that went up to Ocala with us, you've already got one of these, but I want you to get one again. This is a little teaching that the Holy Spirit gave me, or it's a writing. It's something came out of my spirit, assisting someone in receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, it'll say it for me so I don't have to go through all this. I'll just read the first part. The following is a number of practical and spiritual suggestions that have worked well for me through the years. Remember, they are only suggestions and an approach to assisting, not an absolute rule. So the main thing that you're going to find out in following the Holy Spirit is that you have to follow the Holy Spirit yourself. But I want each one of you to get one tonight, and I want you to have it, and I believe that it'll assist you in where we are going, in that there is going to be a birthing process. Listen, we're out here, and it looks like we're out here and wherever. And as far as I know, there's nothing on the inside of me that wants big for big purpose so I can be known. I mean, as far as I know, with all honesty, before you and God. But I do believe this, that if we'll build it, the field of dreams, if we'll build it in the Spirit, they will come. They will come. And everybody that's supposed to be ministries and ministers and people that'll be psalmists and people that'll be worship leaders, and we've got some of those coming up right now among us. But everybody that's supposed to be coming from all over the earth will come in the days ahead, because it'll be like a magnet. The Holy Spirit will take them on this pilgrimage, and they'll say, you know, go assist them. You know, just like you're assisting other ministries, the Holy Spirit will come. He's adding line on line to us. But all these babies that are going to be born, we know they're going to be born through the blood of Jesus Christ. The next thing that, if you've got one shot, this is one thing that Dave taught me years ago by the Holy Spirit. He said, look, if you go into any place in the world and you only got one shot, you're only going to be there one time, what are you going to teach them? The thing you're going to teach them is turn them over to the Holy Ghost. Get them baptized and turn them over to the Holy Ghost. Because he's the one. Don't teach him on your pet doctrine. Don't teach him on this, or don't teach him on prosperity, or don't teach him on this. Turn him over to the Holy Ghost. Because if you can turn him over to the Holy Ghost, then he starts that mentorship in their life that changes their life. The church is, the foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, out of the foundation, Jesus Christ goes, look, I'm leaving. This is the last thing I got to say. You want to hear the most important thing I got to say? Holy Ghost. Get filled with him and let him lead and guide you into all truth. Let him continue to lead and guide you. Let him continue to build you up, get you past things, but also become the teacher in your life that will equip you. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This is a powerful book. I don't know how far. I don't even know if we'll get back in it tonight. We'll continue to read as the Holy Spirit, the bride and the groom is in this book. The Holy Spirit coming with power. And we know this is a very prophetic chapter in chapter 2. But because it talks about, I'll just read this part. Look at verse 28. These are very familiar to us. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon my servants, my handmaidens, in those days will I pour out of my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon, it says, into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. And as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Hallelujah. Now somebody said, it doesn't say anything about speaking in tongues there. But Peter, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, says, he quotes that verse and he says, this is that. Because they're saying, what did you do? What's going on? What's this tongues? And he goes, this is this. He quotes this and he says, what Joel said, this is that. The tongues is the birthing of all of this. The Holy Spirit is he's the one that's brought this and he's birthed it. And so here's the uniqueness about who we are in Christ. How does the farmer do it? You either can plant individual rows or you can broadcast it. You can just throw it out there. Because of the Holy Spirit, And what Homer was saying is so true. Because of the Holy Spirit, we don't have to broadcast our ministry. In other words, we don't have to throw it out there and hope that the Holy Spirit is very strategical. Very strategical. He comes, and if we keep praying, he leads and guides us into all truth, and he shows us things to come, and he shows us how to win the lost, and he shows us, listen, folks, if broadcasting, witnessing, just going from door to door, if that could do it, cities would have been won a long time ago. There would have been the good Baptist communities have done that. They've done that in our city for years, and there's been no revival. And I'm not putting them down for that. Thank God they've done it. We have a Holy Ghost. What does that mean? That means that he strategically, we're not broadcasting our seed saying, okay, we're just throwing it out there. We're not just going from door to door saying, okay, we're not just going from, we can get up. We can spend our time in prayer, in the Holy Ghost, and believe that like Jesus, where the Word says in chapter 4 of John, the Word said he must needs, the Holy Spirit took him through Samaria. He veered off and said, because the Father has a plan over there for you. It's okay to broadcast your seed. It's okay to tell everybody about Jesus. But the fine line of your ministry is the Holy Spirit speaking. Acts chapter 16, Paul had it in his heart. The Word says, and now I'm paraphrasing, he said he desired to go to Asia, and the Holy Spirit forbade him. He wanted to go preach in Asia. And the Holy Spirit said, he forbade him. He said, don't go. Well, the Great Commission says, go ye into all the world. But now here's the Holy Spirit coming up and saying, don't go. Then his next thought was, he essayed, I don't use that word, he essayed, in other words, he thought, okay, if you won't let me go to Asia, he essayed to go to Bithynia. And the Holy Spirit said, oh, the word says, he suffered them not. He wouldn't. Paul's like, well, my God, Holy Ghost, I know you're supposed to be working with Jesus on this thing, but I'm wanting to go to Asia. You're saying, don't go witness over there. Well, what about this town? Dude, don't go over there. Why? Because the timing was not right. You just rush into something? I'll tell you what God has called us to do. He's called us to pray down an anointing that will crush the back of the enemy. Then, my God, when He says, move in and speak, they'll come and they'll just give themselves over and can repeat the same thing that we've said for years. What must I do to be saved? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just like, Dave said to me years ago. He said, Bronk, listen. He's taught me something. He said, an action in the natural does not always precipitate or solicit a reaction in the spirit. But an action taken in the spirit, and I will explain this, always, always, invariably, I mean, it's just no exception to it, it'll always bring into effect something in the natural. Now, what does that mean? It means you can just say, you know what, bless God, I know I've been having a hard time physically, and I know that I've been going to a doctor claiming my healing. And these doctors gave me these little pills, and they said, you better take them, because if you don't, you'll die. Well, if you just wake up one morning mad because you're having them pills, and you just say, well, bless God, I'm just mad. I didn't ask the Holy Spirit what He thinks about it. I'm just going to take an action and just, do you know how many people, let me just be nice. Do you know how many people have died and left God with a bad reputation? Although you can't really. I mean, He's God. But their heart was right. But they just crossed their arms and just was mad about having to go through what they were and saying, I'm just going to make this decision. Now listen, if you make that decision, what you've just made, if you say, I'm going to stop, pour all them in the garbage, what you've just made is this decision. Okay, that's a good decision. But what you've just made is to do everything now that's necessary for that to come to pass. Which means you better go into the prayer closet. You better buckle your seatbelt. If you're going to throw that stuff away, if you made the decision, I mean, if you just made it out of, then what decision you're making then is to do everything necessary to live and not die. But a lot of people make that decision and then they won't do the follow-up on it. And that decision, although it sounds like faith, doesn't bring into effect a spiritual reaction. But when you sit in worship and the Holy Spirit comes on you and you build yourself up on your most holy faith, and then one day while you're sitting there, kuro balaba kristete, or you came out of a 3-day fast and you're just sitting there worshiping, and the Holy Spirit says, you've got the faith. It's there. Whatever it takes to win, you've got the faith. It's there. You can pour them out now. Then you just heard something. That action in the Spirit will always prove it. The Word says wisdom is justified over children. In other words, if God told you to do it, it'll turn out that way. A lot of times people said, God told me to do it, and they died. Well, what does that prove? Well, God changed His mind. No, they didn't hear God. I mean, that's just plain out. If you said, I'm going to walk over there, and God told me to go over there and then come back, and you walk over there and you don't come back, God didn't tell you to do it. You went to heaven, but God didn't tell you to do it. Strong deductions, right? Hallelujah. Well, why are you saying all that? Because I'm telling you, He gave us a Holy Spirit. He did not leave us orphans. We won't read this now. Just take it home. And like I said, it is not, this is not doctrine like you gotta do it this way. You may skip step one, go to three, or you may do three and four and five, and then I'm not even looking at them, so I don't know if that's theoretically possible. But there is a lot of good scripture in here, and it's sound teaching. I know it's sound. I'm confident of that. But why am I giving you this? Why the Holy Spirit? Because you need to know how. You need to know what the next step is. We're not going to just get them born again. We're going to get them filled with the Holy Ghost. Because getting them filled with the Holy Ghost, it doesn't take away our responsibility to train them and teach them, but it turns them over immediately to the teacher. It turns them over immediately to the one that's going to begin to edify them and build them up on their most holy faith. So I'm going to ask you to read this. I'm going to ask you to just put it in your heart. There's kind of like at the end, there's a kind of a quick 10-step getting the candidate to relax. It's a spiritual experience of faith and not sight. The same familiar spirit, the Holy Ghost, doesn't speak in tongues. I love that. The Holy Ghost doesn't speak in tongues. People do. Everybody's tongue is different. Only one word is a sign of the baptism. Their tongue may vibrate, pray the prayer of the Father. Just real practical now. Inhale, exhale, release the Holy Spirit. But there's some good things here and good scriptural things here. But listen, get equipped, get ready to get people filled with the Holy Ghost. And we are an army that's going forward. We got just a few minutes. Look at chapter 2 with me. Joel chapter 2. I love this. This is right where we were at Sunday. Look at verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord has come. We're headed towards revival, people. For it is nigh at hand. This sounds real gloomy and darkness. It's just talking about it's an awesome, it looks ominous, but it's very, very, this thing that's a, in fact, there is going to be two things taking place at once. You might as well understand there's a falling away and there's a revival. There's great persecution, and at the same time, there's a wonderful outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So right in the middle, there's going to be good, bad, darkness, wonderful things taking place. A fire devoureth before them, verse 3, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yes, nothing shall escape them. And I'm thinking here prophetically, in this great outpouring, in the baptism in which he's going to rain down here on this city and neighboring cities, nothing is going to escape the presence of his power. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways. And they shall not break ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me space. I know you got my back and not with a sword, right? Hallelujah. Praise God. And when they do fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. You know, it's just like the glory of the Lord is going to be so strong. This army is an invading army, and yet I'm telling you, it's not a broadcasting army. It's not like, okay, I'm just going to listen. A lot of times I'll say something to somebody at the gas station. You know, hi, God bless you. Sometimes, do you have Christ in your life? But the ones that are going to really, where you're getting pay dirt, is the ones normally where, now God can use any introduction to later reverberate in years ahead, any of that. But I'm telling you, we are strategic people who have a Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is the one who leads and guides us daily, and he will check you. Listen, really, when he says, pray the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into their harvest, you, in the days ahead, I believe there's going to be such a saturation that you're going to get the waitresses and the people in the restaurant. You're going to get them. We're praying that down right now. But strategically right now, the ones that are really having the most effect are the people. When you're going into their harvest, it's the people. Because a lot of times I'll have a consciousness of that person. And if I'll have a consciousness of their need for Christ. Sometimes that consciousness will take me to verbally say something. Sometimes that consciousness only asks the Father to send forth laborers into their harvest. And somebody might say, well, you were the laborer. Why didn't you take what I'm asking him for? I know what I'm asking. I'm asking him to send somebody that rubs shoulders with them, that they have confidence in, or who will get in their life. Because listen, without the Holy Spirit, now he can, and he has done it. He can break the ice to where that, man, they just trust you. But normally what they're going to respond to is somebody who comes into their life, who's already there, or somebody that'll come into their life who on a daily basis they're going to start rubbing shoulders with, and they're going to find a confidence in them, and that witness is going to start teaching them of the reality, not the historical Jesus, but the reality of a risen Savior. And so if I feel like that I don't have that opportunity at the moment, I'll ask the Father to send forth a laborer into their harvest, get somebody in there undercover, get somebody in there close to them who's really going to have an effect on their life. Now, as it is right now, we're praying down this and we're listening. But listen, he says, blow a trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Listen, out of his holy mountain, which is the heavenly Zion, there is a revival coming, tremendous revival. And things are going to shake in the earth like we've never seen it before. Years ago, and I wish, and I've just asked the Holy Spirit to help me to remember, now that I know more about dreams, the one that are, you know, I dream every night, but there, it's not God most of the time. But I do know now, when those dreams that I wake up with, that just stay with you, and they're weighty, and they're heavy, but they're, you know, you just know. And no matter where I've went, this dream has stayed with me. Years ago, I think even since I've been here, but it's been years ago, I was in the woods, and I was on a mountain, and there were people with me, and I know one individual that's not part of us that was with me, and is not part of Tulsa or anybody, but just another minister, and we were weaving our way. We had these torches, and it was pitch dark. It was pitch dark. But it was amazing. It was like there was stuff going on. I mean, we were doing something, but we were trekking across this mountain, and it was uphill, downhill, and it was all around. And we were like carrying these torches, and the light that we had was the torches that we bore. And it was like, at times, to the best of my memory, and now I know these things need to be written down even all the more, so for posterity purposes. But I remember we were doing stuff, and it was like whatever it was that was in front of us, we had it to accomplish. And it was like we kept working and kept working and kept doing and kept doing. And I remember we come across this one place, and it seemed like that there was, to the best I can remember now, this was years ago, there was this huge lit up city down in kind of a valley area. But I remember all the people that were with us, and it was like we were busy, real busy, and it was in the middle of the night. And we had these torches. And I remember coming to this place and looking over kind of into this city. And I just said, just before the dream ended, I don't know why I said it, but it just come right out of me. And those people that were standing around, I said, this is Mount Zion. And I hadn't been studying on this. I hadn't been looking at it. It just came right out. I just let them know. I said, we're on Mount Zion. You know, we're here on Mount Zion. Well, it's amazing to me that this prophet speaks that something is coming. This powerful movement, this powerful force of the gospel. Blow this trumpet. Let the earth hear, because Mount Zion is about to explode. Hallelujah. So I'm glad to be a part of it. I'm glad you're here to be a part of it. So, hallelujah. Mockley is in revival. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.